You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Earlier this week, scientists at the annual meeting of the American Society for Reproductive Medicine in San Antonio presented results that raised some hackles. In an experiment that most likely would have been forbidden here in the U.S., doctors in China attempted to correct a woman's inability to become pregnant by using a controversial technique. They removed the genetic material in the form of the nucleus from her fertilized egg, then transferred that nucleus into an egg of another woman whose nucleus had been removed. Some doctors say the technique could be a way of letting previously infertile couples bear children, and the composite egg did in fact develop into an embryo, but this was done many times, and none of these did the embryo survive. But if the experiment were conducted just a little differently, changing who provided the genetic material and whose eggs were used, the experiment could possibly lead to human cloning. Joining me now to talk about this is Thomas Murray. He's a former member of the National Bioethics Advisory Commission, which looked at human cloning issues. He's author of The Worth of a Child, University of California Press. He's also president of the Hastings Center, a bioethics research group in Garrison, New York. Welcome back to the program, Dr. Murray.
Thank you, Ira, and good afternoon to you.
Did I describe that experiment correctly? Tell us again what they did.
You described it very well. They used one of the techniques that has been involved in all cloning efforts up till now, and it's called nuclear transfer. But the other part of the technique that they employed was completely different from cloning. Nuclear transfer involves, as you said, taking the DNA, the primary nuclear material, out of a woman's egg, then taking the DNA, the primary DNA, from a fertilized egg, woman and the man who want to have the child, plucking that DNA out, sticking it in the egg of this other woman, which now had no nucleus in it, and then seeing if it developed. And a couple of them did develop to a fetal stage, but there were no healthy births.
Mm-hmm. How different would this be from cloning somebody?
With cloning, you begin the enucleation, that is, the taking of the nuclear DNA out of a healthy egg. That's the same. Everything's different, though, in what goes in. In adult cloning, you take the nuclear DNA from an adult cell, which has all these transformations that have happened to it. Scientists call it epigenetic programming. And it looks like one of the primary reasons cloning fails so miserably almost every time it's tried. We mainly hear about the successes. We don't hear about the hundreds of failures for every single success, for the most part. The main reason it looks like it fails is that our DNA goes through modifications in the course of a cell's lifetime, and you have to be able to reverse all of those and start over again with a fresh nucleus, as it were. And that doesn't usually happen. Mm. Here they had essentially a fresh nucleus.
Would this experiment have been allowed in the U.S., in this country, or perhaps in Britain?
Britain, probably not in Britain, because even though they've been quite willing to undertake experimentation numbers. In the United States, I certainly would never have gotten any government funding. We just don't fund this kind of research, and probably would not have gotten FDA approval, almost certainly wouldn't have gotten it. One of the problems with the technique is people may think of an egg as a little tight, hard nucleus in the middle of a bunch of glop, which is called the ooplasm. But in fact, the egg consists of a lot of very delicate microstructures. And when you pull a nucleus out that way, you really may be doing all kinds of physical damage to the egg structure. So there are risks. They're not known, and the research in animals just it's certainly not been enough research, if any at all, has been done.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. We're talking about this experiment with Tom Murray, his reproductive specialist, an ethicist. Tell us about the ethics of this. I mean, apart from just a scientific experiment.
I don't think this experiment was justifiable for a couple of reasons. One is there clearly are some risks and involved in this disruption of the structure of an egg and the insertion of another nucleus. The predecessor experiment to this was done by a different group, not by Jamie Griffo and his colleagues. It was done in the U.S., and that involved taking a healthy woman's egg and sticking a syringe in, sucking out a little bit of her ooplasm and shoving it in another woman's egg, which had been fertilized in the way they do in an IVF lab. So it added a little bit of the other woman's ooplasm. Now, I happened to be invited by the FDA to sit on a committee to look at that experiment after it was reported.
Mm-hmm.
And when we asked the scientists, we learned two, of, I thought, very disturbing things. One is they really didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, they didn't even have a very well-articulated theory of why it would work. And secondly, when they looked, they gave us some data on some women who had had this done, and then the children were born. A couple of them, by the way, were born with Turner syndrome, which is an extra chromosome.
Mm-hmm.
But the data wasn't convincing because some of these women might have gotten pregnant just on the next IVF try in any event.
So it was a very crude experiment.
It was, yes. I think that's a fair, sad, but fair.
If you don't know what's going to happen or how you're exactly doing it or make predictions. It's...
Yeah, I asked what the active principle or factor was in this, and I was met with shrugs, and people think it was probably, the closest they could come was probably mitochondria, which are the little energy organelles, little energy factories in all of our cells. There are lots and lots of them in eggs.
Mm-hmm.
They each contain their own DNA. So this also was may have been one of the world's first experiments in what's called germline gene transfer, because if those mitochondria survived in those kids, then those are not the original mitochondria they would have started life out with, but they're from another woman.
Hmm. And in this case, we're talking about an experiment that you said hasn't been performed very much even in animals?
I've not seen the evidence, and I've not heard much reference made to evidence. It's a sorry situation in the U.S. This kind of research has fallen victim to what I've called embryo politics. I mean, we in this country, we just get all tied up in knots, and we become paralyzed whenever we want to talk about embryos. And so the scientists complained to the FDA, and I thought with some justification, that they can't get any funding to do this research. We're just very shy about providing scientists with the support to do it. So they more or less have to fund it out of their clients' fees. And so they're doing it. They're doing the research on a shoestring.
Hmm. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-989-8255. Let's go to Delray Beach, Florida. Francesca.
Hello. I'm so glad I'm on.
Hi. Go ahead.
Well, I've been suffering from infertility for almost 4 years, and we're up to nothing left but IVF. And I'll tell you, if they could offer this to us, we would do it. And I know that there's been legislation to get coverage for IVF and other procedures in 13 states, I believe, have laws that mandated being covered by insurance, but Florida's not one. Techniques like this offer hope for myself and others, and this is not a place you'd want to be, let me tell you. This is one of the hardest. This is the hardest thing I've ever been through.
Thomas Murray, reaction?
Thank you for calling, Francesca. I am a supporter of having coverage, reasonable amounts of coverage for the diagnosis and treatment of infertility, including IVF. This was not IVF. This was IVF plus all kinds of new things that we have no idea what the impact would have been. And let's make sure that we understand no healthy child has been born by this procedure.
Not
and
yet.
There is some doubt whether it would work. We do know that in efforts to do adult cloning, are you aware that there hasn't been a single healthy primate ever born?
Yes.
We've not cloned any monkeys or apes or anything. So I don't know whether this would have some of the same, we'd encounter some of the same difficulties with nuclear transfer of this sort as we would with nuclear transfer for primate cloning, but we want to eliminate that possibility. Otherwise, you and any child born might be at very significant risk. And we're right now, traditional IVF might be a good option.
Right, if only it recovered.
this would cost a whole lot more than traditional IVF. I do think if we really think that having children is a very important part, and raising children and loving children is a very important part of our individual flourishing as adults, and that's an argument that I make in the worth of a child, then that I think we should support vigorously efforts to have children like this.
Thanks for calling, Francesca.
Well, thank you.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. We're talking about infertility and infertility experiments this hour on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Talking with Thomas Murray, author of The Worth of a Child. Why do you think the Chinese attempted it, then, if it's such an early stage?
Because they could. It's clear that the American scientists, I think, have been very forthright about this. They knew they couldn't do this research in the United States, and at that time, it wasn't banned in China. It probably is banned now, but at the time it was done, it probably was not prohibited there, and they found people there who were willing to work with them to do it, and so that's where it was done.
As an ethicist, where would you see the ethical steps that need to be taken before you get to the stage?
Well, you have two kinds of problems. One is you have to be sure that it is a reasonably safe experiment. Before you start trying to do this with women and with human babies, you have to show that it works reliably in animals and that it works safely, mm-hmm. that there are no difficulties. And as far as I know, that research simply hasn't been done here. Then secondly, you would want to think about the implications of doing these sorts of manipulations with human embryos. And I know some people have profound objections, usually based on religious convictions, about any manipulation of embryo. But even, frankly, even folks opposed to most embryo research would make an exception for research meant to use that embryo to have a healthy baby. So some might actually endorse this if it worked, if we had the evidence.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, and you say the climate in this country means that kind of work is not going to get funded here or go down that road.
I'm afraid that's been the history, and I don't see any prospect for that changing in the immediate future, no.
And so it can't be regulated, and then we're just at the mercy of other countries where people can just do these kind of things.
That's right, and what it's led to in this country is an infertility industry that has been, because it hasn't been properly funded for science, has become very entrepreneurial and market-driven rather than operating more like most other medical subspecialties.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, Thomas, for taking time to talk with us.
It was good talking to you, Ira.
Good luck. Thomas Murray is author of The Worth of a Child, published by University of California Press. He's also the president of Hastings Center, a bioethics research group in Garrison, New York. Earlier, I spoke with John Logsdon, director of the Space Policy Institute at George Washington University, and Marcia Smith, who is with the Congressional Research Service at the Library of Congress. Our program is produced by Annette Heist and Charles Berquist, who is also our web producer and director, senior producer Karen Vergoth. And this week, we bid a fond but teary-eyed farewell to our intern, Annalise Strachan. She's been with us for several months. You've heard a lot of the pieces that we've done on Science Friday. She's with the producers. She's done excellent work. She's contributed a lot to the program. And she's moving on to a real job. Yes, there is life after Science Friday. And she's going on to that big screen with the flashing light. And what's it called? It's television. That's what that thing is called. And you may be able to see her credit popping up in another science show, Nova, something like that. Yeah, that's that thing. She's going to be working for that. Good luck to you, and we'll miss you, Annalie. If you'd like to write to us, please send your letters to the Talk of the Nation Science Friday, 1221 6th Avenue, 37th floor, New York, New York, 10020, or you can surf over to our website. Better yet, get everything in one spot at sciencefriday.com. You can leave us email there. You can also get back editions of Science Friday and listen to them in your real audio player, or download them and join up on a subscription to audible.com and get a copy mailed to you every week. And also there's Science Friday's Kids Connection there, which has curricula free. Make free lessons. Hey, you want some teaching material for your kids? Surf over to sciencefriday.com. We've got it there for you. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.